All the suggestions so far, except for Jared's last one, the ones that you guys have made have been like, how would you...
Too like, spooky?
No, too scary. I can't,
no wonder you can't think of your number three. You're spooked.
Oh, that's I'm right. too scared. Have been like, how would you extend the story? And you keep asking me, like, how would you like to see that story? Like,
I just love putting you on the spot.
So, like, these games that I want to make a comeback are games that I played as a child, mostly, or played kind of a far back in my story. But, so... I just want to see like the mechanics brought up to date to breathe life into these games. There's very few games that I played back in the day that I'm like, I wonder what they could do with the story.
Yeah.
But this next game is a game they actually are bringing back, but I still want to talk about it, and that's Fable.
Oh, okay. Good one.
So... You have a very small window of opportunity here where they haven't really said anything about what the new Fable is.
Yeah, it's been pretty under wraps. And I think that's because it's made by an entirely new team. And they've even, after years.
Not surprising, because it's been like over a decade.
Yeah. Can I just specify that it's made by the Forza?
That's what I was about to say.
Oh,
it's wild. It's been several years into development, and they just now recently, probably 4 or 5 months ago, hired someone from the original Fable team to help with it, which worries me a bit.
Yeah, that
they're
seems
like,
bad.
We don't know what we're doing.
Hey, we didn't want you originally, but we are so lost that if you could just jump in here
and
real quick.
And I heard it's on the engine of the Forza.
Right.
The latest Forza.
Well, to be honest, I don't even know what that means, because the latest Forza, it is completely open world.
Yes.
And it is pretty good. Like, so, I like the Forza games a lot. So I don't know what that means for an RPG that is also like an open world adventure.
It means it's gonna look pretty.
Yeah, that
maybe
is,
it'll like
at
the
least
Forza
have
game
that.
Yeah,
I think it looks its prettiest when you're driving fast. When you take a minute to slow down and you look at the
it's
environment.
It's beautiful when everything is very blurry.
Yeah. Okay.
When you take a minute to slow down, you're looking at the environment, you're like, will this work? But
so,
you know, that's just the engine
of
the game, not like, who knows?
And maybe that's why they're taking so long, is because they want to make everything look good, not blurry.
It's because they've spent 6 years, I don't know how long they've spent into it, into working on it, and they're like, maybe we should have used a different engine.
Yeah. We need to rebuild this from the ground
up. Just real quick, Microsoft, help!
Yeah. No kidding.
But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't have my hopes up for it.
So initially, Fable is an RPG that is really all about changing depending on whether you make moral or immoral decisions as you progress through the game. The game has an overarching quest, like it has its own story, right? And then it has tons of side quests. You can go explore and find little stories everywhere. At its core, this is a game that is made to present you with decision.
Good and evil choices. Fable 2 and Fable 3 didn't deliver like I wanted them to. I thought they were fine.
We disagree on this point, but I'm not going to argue with you here.
What's your stance? Do you think Fable 2 and 3 are better?
I think 3 was a fumble, but I think 2 I enjoyed a lot more than the original.
Yeah. Okay.
I also agree.
Really? Okay. I think the combat in 1...
it's very
much
different.
Better.
Yeah. And I think that's important to note, that it is more than likely just a matter of taste rather than this one is better or
the
worse.
The combat felt more grounded in 1, and then 2 it felt really loose, and like the enemies, there just wasn't anything interesting about them. And I get 2 and 3 mixed up because it's been so long since I played them. I remember 3 was the most disappointing because every spell in the game was just another version of the spells you already had. It's just, it is a different look to it. Like, I can cast a big fireball or I can cast an ice ball, but like the enemies, like they were just dudes and they didn't really have like elemental weaknesses. And like, even when you got the swords, if you think about it, you're just casting another version of the same spell you already have. You can do a version of its AOE or you can concentrate it into one enemy, mm-hmm. and every spell does that, and that's all you get.
Spells I mean, I feel like design-wise, it feels kind of like a fumble to do that in the first place, yeah. to be mm-hmm. like every spell can be AoE or
yes.
single target, yeah. and they all, you know, it's like, well, maybe it has an elemental weakness, mm-hmm. but other than that, it doesn't matter what you're using. Like, you're really kind of tripping over yourself
yeah.
to sell yourself short like that. Yeah. But yeah. I think you've picked a really interesting choice because we don't really know anything about Fable 3.
Yeah.
And Fable 1 was great. Fable 2 is controversial.
What do you mean we don't know anything about Fable 3?
Fable Remake, sorry.
You mean the Fable Remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Fable okay. Remake. Yes, sorry. We don't know anything about the upcoming Fable game.
Yeah.
We know
that. Which is just called Fable, I believe.
What, that makes sense because it's been so long. They're yeah. basically just rebooting.
And I think they're actually like doing something with the timeline of the game where we're either like reversing time or like technology's been reset because I don't think this one is going to have guns and stuff like 2 and 3.
Hmm.
So I think they're going.
I'd rather them start over at this point. I don't want them to try and build on this weird, because it's such a rocky history of like
mm-hmm.
one good, two controversial, three fumble. Mm-hmm. In general, people kind of see the games that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they could borrow from any of those games, and the game would look wildly different depending on what they borrow from mm-hmm. which game.
Correct.
So I would rather them start over and rethink what they want this game to be instead of trying to build on games that came out 15 years ago
yeah.
or whatever.
So what do you want from it?
What do you think it should have?
It's Fable 1 has a lot of mechanics that just weren't like fully realized. Mm-hmm. And that is the definition of Peter Molyneux.
Mm-hmm. It truly is.
Yeah. Is like you can buy houses in Fable 1, which is just like something that I had never done in a game. You can make these good and evil choices.
In RPGs, it's pretty uncommon. And especially back then, it was mm-hmm. uncommon.
Yeah. You buy a house and you go on quests and you get trophies from these quests and you can hang them up in your house.
I love cool. decorating a house.
And then you can have a wife in every neighborhood. so there's that.
I love that too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it felt like the relationship thing was like the more you build up relationships with people, the more you can marry.
Hmm.
And like that's the extent of the relationships yeah, with people.
And it's like that's kind of boring. Widen yeah. that net. A
every
bit.
Character is the same. Like I'm just going to shower you with diamonds. Marry
yeah.
me.
All women love
yeah.
diamonds.
Yeah.
Truly is a 15-year-old game.
Yeah. You can marry a dude. You can marry a guy. Doesn't matter. You just give the same gifts to each one, and you'll marry them. Nice. And you just got to have to buy a wedding ring and then give them, and then they say yes if their hearts are a certain point. There's no person. Like, these individuals like to see have less, no personality.
Like, yeah. less surfaced mm-hmm. what is happening. You know what yeah. I mean? That game, and it was a product of its time. It's not mm-hmm. that they could do a whole lot about that. And that was kind of the design philosophy of the day. Is like, you wanted to see all the numbers. You wanted yeah. to see how everything was working and how all the mm-hmm. clocks were ticking.
Yeah.
Right.
I want that, like, obfuscated
yeah.
a little bit. I don't.
Yeah.
I want a more organic feeling.
I want to see
meaningful.
I want to see these good and evil decisions I make affect the towns that I visit. Because Fable 1,
100%. Yeah,
you're visiting towns, and they all have these quests, and you can choose what to do. But for the most part, the villages don't change. So I would like to see a different take on that, a more involved take on like your good and evil choices. Changing the world and not just your ending or how your character looks, things like that.
I would love to see your actions influence like the culture of the towns that mm-hmm. you're visiting and stuff, like the world in general mm-hmm. changing.
And the characters in these towns being unique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all like you've got the main characters and then all the villagers are just like boring villagers.
Yeah.
And you can marry them.
I mean, you could... And you can marry the boring villagers.
Yeah.
You could even have, like, different cultures throughout the world that, like, some cultures benefit from evil choices because they're, like, a cult yeah. or something.
Right.
Like a cult up in the mountains that the more evil everything gets, the more powerful they are, and yeah. then you could get better items from
Do
them.
Do you know about the evil church in that game?
I don't think
so. In Fable 1, where...
I also don't remember.
Yeah. You can yeah. sacrifice people, but you have to get them to trust you enough, so you'll get people's
you'll throw diamonds at them
yeah. and then they'll follow you to their doom unbeknownst to them. You
take yes.
them to this church. Jeez. And I can't remember the name of this like group but you'll just like sacrifice them to an altar. If you give them enough, I think that's the where you get the bow. It's like some
okay
demonic bow thing that's great.
Interesting. Yeah.
Really and cool. then there's like another like the other version of that is a church that's the good.
And you have to take the cultists from the other church and bring them to the church.
Yeah. You just donate money to the point where you're poor.
Of course.
And eventually you get a weapon.
That used to be a huge thing in video games. Like Knights of the Old Republic was terrible mm-hmm. about this. Was that like the bad choices were always like...
Severe.
Do you want to steal all the money from this guy so that you have a ton more money? Mm-hmm. And then the good choice is like, do you want to give away everything you have?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I don't want to. Every choice boiled down to like, do you want to gain something by being evil, or do you want to lose something you really like by being good?
And that's fake.
Right.
That's a design everything choice is that I'm very glad is gone.
It's borderline, like, or not borderline, but it's like very much good or evil.
Yeah. Very binary.
Right.
In that way. Yes.
Yeah. All through the games.
Right.
2 and 3. Yeah.
And you'll know you're evil because your eyes are on fire.
3 does one. That's right. 3 does something where it tries to push like what's evil, what's good. It has like this big villain in it, mm-hmm. which is your brother that is like terrible. He's like the king over this world. Mm-hmm. And he's making all these choices that seem bad. And then the twist at the end is, well, you're now in control. And you have to make these choices.
Ooh, I like that.
And
you know I like that.
You now realize why he's making bad choices. And he gives you the rein. He's like, well, you see what you can do.
Why don't you be me for a day?
And it turns out there's this big threat coming. And he is trying to make preparations for this big threat.
Mm-hmm. And so why didn't he just tell everybody that?
You have to figure out, do you want to make people happy? Or you want them to all like
hate you, but be safe.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And it's been a long time since I've experienced that, so... I could have some of these details wrong.
But I would love to see that played up.
Yeah. But fully realized.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than just like, I have an idea.
Not so black and
white.
I don't know how to execute it. Peter Molyneux reference, black and white.
There's a few characters that exist throughout each game. They're like immortal or live a long time.
Yeah.
Reaver, I think, is his name. He's in each game. And then your sister from the first game is in, I think, the other two games. Because you have a big part of the storyline in the first game is this revenge arc mm-hmm. where you find out like there's these bandits that kill your parents and you think kill your sister mm-hmm. and then you find out your sister's alive and she's in this bandit camp and you go and save her and blah blah blah
right
and then she's in the second and third game but you think it's her, you're not sure, then you figure out it is, but of course you're a totally different character, but I think you're it's the same bloodline, your character is the descendant.
Nice. It's a very deep well.
Yeah. So to
go back.
I listed it just because I'm. I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am very interested in
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Curious to see what they do.
They have a ton of. They have a huge pool to draw from. Okay. So. Yeah. That's cool. It's interesting because you can basically improve that game at every level at this point.
Pretty much
from where it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor, what's your number 3?
All right, it's my last one. Number 3, I'm going to go with something that by next year will be a decade since they've done anything with it, is Bloodborne.
That's a very good.
What is Sony doing? Sitting on that IP and doing nothing with it.
I'm assuming they can't get Miyazaki to come back and do another one because he's too busy doing Elden Ring stuff.
Well, true.
But I also, Bloodborne is... Elden Ring is kind of its own beast in my mind, but out of all of the other Souls games, mm-hmm. Bloodborne is the closest I have come to finishing a Souls game just because of how cool the world was and the fiction was, and the combat felt much faster and much more reactive, I think, than the other games did. A lot more focus on like stunning your opponent and like making opportunities for yourself instead of waiting for an opportunity. I would also love to see that. But like, so really quickly.
Yeah.
What is Bloodborne?
Bloodborne, From Software, action RPG.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Horror Victorian.
Horror, like Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, yeah.
Like cosmic horror.
Yeah.
Unknown entities mixed with Victorian era.
Yeah.
Like plague, basically. Yeah. Victorian era.
Fast
plague.
Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, by next year, it'll be a decade since they.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's still a gorgeous game.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is. I want a ton of more environments, more weapons.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see them introduce the jump mechanic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like they did in Elden Ring.
Good point.
I want them to be able to jump. I think that would add to the fluidity of that game. There's
so much verticality in that game with all the different buildings and stuff.
It's wild that there isn't just some jump button in that
game. Right, And I just want them to go crazy with it. Just, I just love the setting. I want more varied areas, the bosses, the just the whole thing. I just want more of it. And I just don't know why.
I'm right.
Because Sony loves their IPs.
For sure.
And they pump in a lot of money for them.
Yeah. But it's Bloodborne, super strange to see their IPs on the Steam store.
Yeah, I know.
You've got God of War.
Yeah. And it's making them a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I am
just
waiting for them to. Everybody's like, I want a Bloodborne remaster. I don't want a Bloodborne remaster. I want a sequel to
Bloodborne. Yeah, I don't want a Bloodborne remaster. It doesn't need to be remastered.
It doesn't. I want a sequel to it.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be remastered either. I mean, you could effectively patch that game to upscale it, and it would be good to go.
Sure.
You don't really need
to. I mean, if you play it on the PS5, it looks great.
Yeah, I was surprised, like, when they started pushing some PlayStation games onto Steam that we didn't see Bloodborne. Yeah. It was going to sell like crazy.
Oh,
I would have bought it immediately.
I would definitely buy it. Because, just like I said, just for the upscaling of the resolution and stuff. But is there anything in particular you'd like to see from the story, or any characters you'd like to see return, or
just more weapons?
I agree, because like the Souls games have had so many opportunities to feed into that universe, bring those characters to life.
It's such a complex and convoluted story, though.
Yeah,
that like
which one? Where would the Souls games or the Bloodborne?
Like, where would you even start on the storyline for this?
That's what kind of. Like, I ended up...
You're now a squid.
Yeah. I was playing that game to understand what was happening. Yeah. Like,
and, which isn't a great way to understand what's happening.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, that's true with all Souls games, but that you only understand what's happening through characters being introduced as if you already know them, talking about stuff as if you already have talked about it before.
Yeah.
And then items will have weird cryptic descriptions that will help you fill in the gaps of what they were talking about. That's basically how they tell stories in the Souls universe.
Right. Yeah.
So if you are going through those games and trying to understand what's happening, the only true way to do that is to read every description of everything and map it all out on your own with a photographic memory. Or you could go to YouTube and watch a 20-minute video that will just tell you an extremely interesting story that will make you wonder, why the heck are they trying so hard to hide this? Which I on some level, I do enjoy experiencing the story in that fractured way. Because it adds such an element of mystery to everything and makes you really feel like you're in a place that has existed before you, which I really like when games don't pretend
that
it revolves around you, or they don't make it obvious that games revolve around you. So I think it would be very easy to pull a lot more cool stuff out of that world. And the whole cosmic horror element is so like pushed back in that game. Like, you really don't know anything about it, assuming you don't level up the stat that lets you see them, because they're all invisible.
Right.
You don't really know anything about that element of the game until much later, right? Like, they barely talk about it. So I think that's a great choice, because there's just
so many opportunities. A mesh of all these weird like, you got werewolves, you've got these like alien things all in this Victorian era.
It was like a repository for all the ideas he couldn't fit in the Souls games.
Like,
well, what about werewolves? And they're like, no, Miyazaki, come on, we have enough stuff, bro.
Right.
So,
Jared, last one.
Okay, this is my last one. This is also probably a game that you guys have not heard of. It's called It's called Slay, S L A I.
Okay,
it's an acronym. Stands for. I wrote it down because I can't remember it. Steel Lancer Arena International. And this game is so freaking cool. It is a combat mech combat game.
Okay.
Similar to Armored Core in the sense that you are like fighting with mechs in this arena. Basically, it's like near future. What happens is, okay, so Slay is basically a game about this sport of the future where they section off areas of the world, different cities, and they're called servers. Basically, originally they created all these robots for combat. It's a like a just a combat sport once these units were created that they used to pilot them for real, and it was so violent, and the like fatality rate and everything was so high that this group called FIRA, they came together to like create regulations for this sport, and they turned it into like this global phenomenon, and now everyone controls them remotely. So as you're playing this game, you're like logging in, and it really, I love this. Not everybody's going to love this, but this game leans so hard into its own fiction, and it is so unapologetically like really holistically trying to pull you into what it would be like to be this dude. So like when you're playing the game, it like boots up, and then there's like an AI that's on this server, and the first time you get in it, the way that you navigate the menu in the game is that it's a virtual world, and you're this little like character that's moving on a path to all the different like shops or areas to fight or whatever. You can even buy music and stuff. Like there's tons of places to go and do different things. But when you first get into that world, it's like stuttering, and I was like, oh no, is the emulator like breaking down? And then the like dialogue at the bottom is like, lag so bad. And then your server blue screens and your computer reboots. And then the AI is like, sorry about that, man. He's like, don't worry, I adjusted the refresh rate so it'll match up with everybody else on the server.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like really committed to making this feel like you're controlling this thing from your PlayStation 2.
Okay, would you want the comeback to be in VR? Because it sounds like...
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Yes, dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it's like Armored Core in the sense that you're buying parts for your mech and you're building it and everything, but when you first get into the game, you don't even have a mech. You can rent mechs, and you'll basically just get whatever's available. Just a randomized mech.
Cool.
And you play in these little closed arenas. They're very small. But you pick a server at the beginning of the game, which is like the level that you want to play on, and you can move to the other ones as you go. But the one I chose is like Stuttgart in Germany. It's this place that the climate has gotten so bad in the future that there's been like famines and plagues and all sorts of stuff. So a lot of the world is unpopulated now.
Okay.
And they designate those abandoned cities as the arenas.
Mm.
So you're going into this abandoned area in Stuttgart that used to be like this big church on top of a hill. And there's all these like interstate things like cut into the stone. So it feels like you're kind of in a diorama because everything is like at a scale where you're this giant robot fighting other robots. But everyone you fight has their own personality. And every mech has its own AI chip that you can buy and put in your mech, and it will talk to you. And they all have different personalities.
Cool.
And so they all...
So you're saying you can acquire different ones?
Yes. Okay. And they're all a different animal. And they're all good for different things. So, like, dogs are just all around good. But if you want to build a sniper mech...
Makes sense.
You can pick, like...
Go ahead.
Are you going to sneeze now, too? No, I'm not cutting this one.
That's right.
So, like, depending on the animal you pick, they'll be good for certain things. Like, hawks can see really far. So that adjusts your ability to how quickly you lock onto your target automatically. Like, if you have, like, a rocket launcher and you're locked on, then it will home in. Otherwise, they just shoot straight.
Oh, okay.
So you can still fire it. But if you want to lock onto targets really far away, you're going to want an AI chip that is specifically for that purpose. And then as they level up, they will only level up specific attributes based on what they're good at. And then you can actually even transfer them into a new chip and keep leveling them and stuff. Super interesting. All the parts, the upgrade system is heavy or light for everything. So if it's a piece of armor, making it lighter will obviously make it weigh less. It'll make you move faster. It'll make you jump higher, but it'll lower your resistance to everything. It'll lower your armor rating and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you level everything up to make it heavier or lighter, and that will alter overall how your mech behaves. Hmm. And if you have like a machine gun and you level it down, less damage, but it fires faster.
Okay.
Or if you level it up, fire slower, but more damage.
That's a strategy.
So it's all about finding weapons that you like and then tweaking them to your exact play style. Hmm. It's really cool, really unique.
It's like what I want from Armored Core.
It's kind of like what I want from Armored Core. And every day, like, they're so committed to this universe that there's, like, a library of terms where you can go and it will tell you, like, FIRA is an agency that was established during blah, 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 and just goes and tells you everything about this world. And then you can learn about who is the top pilot, like, top 3 pilots in the world, top 10 pilots on your server, top 10 pilots on like your region, you can keep getting more and more specific. And you, when you beat those pilots, your name will move up in the ranks. And it's a really cool feeling when the world is so cohesive like that. You really feel like you're making a, an impact, like you're making a big impression on people whenever you're moving up these ranks. And it's really interesting, like the people will be talking the whole time you're fighting, and they'll be talking to their chips, and their chips will be like either agreeing with them, like they all have different relationships. So it's interesting to see like some of them bickering with each other, and they're like, he's like, I got blown up, you were supposed to dodge. And the other one's like, it's not my fault, you don't know how to pilot your mech. Like, and other ones have like been together for a long time, so they're like very loyal to each other and stuff. Like, all the different personalities are really interesting. The approach is really interesting because it allows you to have a really specific type of mech. But the arenas have, like, bonus points and stuff. So you're, the loop is, like, you're fighting these specific individuals. Once you've beaten a certain number of them, the boss will come out. Okay. Beating that boss will allow you to take a test to increase your permit. Basically, you move up in rank, you get to fight better people. And the arena has all these little, like, hidden things in it. Like, the maps often will have, like, little hidden areas or really good vantage points that are hard to get to or just not obvious. And there's, like, little billboards that are kind of, sometimes they're, like, blending in and sometimes they stand out. But if you shoot them, you'll get bonus points. So it encourages you to keep moving throughout this map and not just, like, basically camp in a certain area and just snipe people. But at the same time, different people are constantly coming in and out of the arena. Like, NPCs will leave and new ones will show up depending on when you're there or what day you're there. They'll have preferences. There's just tons of little intricacies that make it feel like it has so much personality and it's so realized. I would love to see them like expand that out. I think
I'm picturing PS2.
It is PS2.
Did you say that?
They kind of dug their own grave because Phantom Crash is the first game in that series.
Okay, I've heard of Phantom Crash.
And it was on Xbox. It was Xbox exclusive. Okay. And that, to be honest, I prefer that one because the music in 2 is so bad. So bad. It's like generic blues music. Like the most generic.
For some reason. Be.
For some reason. And then it'll just be like J-pop or like trance music or something. It's nice. So weird.
Okay.
But
interesting choice.
Yeah. And like I said, you can even buy music to play, which is really funny that they're like, sorry about the music, but you're going to have to pay if you want better
music. Real money?
Not real money.
No. Oh, okay.
Just in-game currency.
Oh, gotcha. That's not a big deal.
No microtransactions. And this one had multiplayer. Well, I don't think Phantom Crash had multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, and it had online play, which is really interesting, but you could do like a multi-tap situation if you just want to have a bunch of friends over. But I would love to see them expand the maps because some of them are very small.
Yeah.
And the chaos is really fun, but I feel like they could really lean into that like Souls-like element of making the map feel like it has all these little secrets to explore. And while you're just running around frantically shooting at people and stuff, you're just like, oh, I didn't know you could get up there from here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, is it mission-based? Like where So you drop into a mission and when you're done, you go.
There are no missions. It is only arena combat, which I personally just have a preference for arena combat. And I think it's hard to find games with arena combat.
Yeah.
So it's like basically every day there's an actual schedule that you can look at in the game that will tell you on Mondays, this server will have D rank and below pilots in this map. Mm-hmm. And the entry fee is X amount. If you get destroyed, you will get the money that you got for each person you blew up minus repairs for everything. So it's very much about like maximizing your earnings each day to try and upgrade your chips and your parts and all that
stuff. You don't want to just go in and take a beating.
You do not want to take a, I did that. And you can never go like negative in a fight, but you can go zero where you've just wasted your entry fee basically. This will be the end of our episode, I guess. That's everything for us. Guys, do you have any final thoughts before we close up?
No. Well, I'd be curious to see what, you know, listeners or whoever's watching.
Yes, please let us know, A, if you can think of any of the games that we were sitting here stumbling over. Or B, if you have a game that you're like, why haven't they done something with this franchise yet?
Yeah. Dead franchises, bringing them back.
Yeah. And I'm sure that we'll do another, another... Yeah.
Version part of this 2 later
of this,
on.
Yeah, at some point.
There's definitely some games that I would like to talk about needing to come back.
Oh yeah, I've got plenty more in the chamber. I'm ready to fire. So, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you so much. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you're listening to our podcast wherever you find podcasts. It's available to you. Then check us out on YouTube. It's Did I Save Podcast.
That's right.
You'll get a little bit of extras. You get to see what games we're talking about. Big bonus. We'll have some of that footage up so that you helps. Can have a little more context. We do our best in podcast form. Thank you to Sam Webster for letting us use his music in our intro and outro. He's great. He has done a lot of really cool work. He has a ton of games. You should check him out if you haven't already. Check us out on we've got our own TikTok. We've got our own Blue Sky. It's just like kind of like Twitter, except better, much less racist. And then what do we have? We have another platform, and they're all at Did I Save Gaming. So, or Did I Save Podcast, not Did I Save Gaming. That was my option two in case it's okay. Taken.
That's all right.
So it, basically, if you're looking for us, just punch in Did I Save Podcast and see if we're there. Otherwise,
you'll see that logo.
You'll see this big, beautiful logo.
That's right.
Unless you're listening. You'll just have to figure it out for yourself.
That's right.
Okay, everybody, thanks for listening.
Perfect.
We'll see you next week. Don't forget
to save. To save, yeah.